By the time I'd reached the bottom of the stairs, there was the sound of a heavy, controlled impact, and a wolf with hair the same dark brown as Billy's hit the floor next to me. It was an enormous beast, easily as heavy as Mouse, but taller and leaner. A wolf the world has rarely seen between here and the last ice age. I slammed open the door and let Billy out ahead of me. He bounded over a parked car, and I mean completely over it, lengthwise, and shot toward the buildings at the back of the complex. Billy had been in contact with Andy and Kirby and knew their approximate positions. I followed him, my staff in hand, already summoning up my will. I wasn't sure what was out here, but I wanted to be ready for it. Kirby appeared from around the northwest corner of the other building. He hurried along with a cell phone pressed to his ear, a lanky, dark-haired young man in sweatpants and a baggy t-shirt. The active phone painted half his face like a miniature floodlight. I checked the southern corner of the building at once and saw a dark, furry shape trotting around the corner, Andy, like Billy, in her wolf form. Wait a minute. If the whatever it was had taken out the local lights, how in the hell had Kirby's cell phone survived the hex? Magic and technology don't get along so well, and the more complex electronic devices tended to fall apart most quickly. Cell phones were like the security guys in red shirts on old Star Trek. As soon as something started happening, they were always the first to go. If the creature, whatever it was, had blown out the lights, it would have gotten the phone, too. Unless it hadn't wanted to take the phone out. Kirby was the only clearly lit object in sight, an ideal target. When the attack came, it came fast. There was a ripple in the air as something moving beneath a veil crossed between me and the light cast by Kirby's phone. There was an explosive snarl, and the phone went flying, leaving Kirby hidden in shadow. Billy flung himself forward even as I ripped the silver pentacle amulet from around my neck and lifted it, calling forth silver-blue wizard light with my will. Light flooded the area between the complex's buildings. Kirby was on his back in the center of a splatter of black that could only be blood. Billy was standing crouched over him, his teeth bared in a snarl. He suddenly lunged forward, teeth ripping, and a distortion of the air in front of him bounded up and then to one side. I lurched forward, feeling as if I was running through hip-deep peanut butter. I got the impression of something four-legged and furry evading Billy's attack, a raw flicker of vision like something seen out of the very corner of the eye. Then Billy was on his back, slashing with canine claws, ripping savagely with his teeth while something shadowy and massive overbore him, pinning him down. Andy, a red-furred wolf that was smaller and swifter than Billy's form, hurtled through the air and tore at the back of the attacker. It screamed again, the sound deeper chested than before, more resonant. The creature whirled on Andy, too swiftly to be believed, and a limb slammed into her, sending her flying into a brick wall. She hit with a yipping cry of pain and a hideous snapping sound. I raised my staff, anger and terror and determination surging down into the wooden tool, and shouted, "Forzari!" My will unspooled into a lance of invisible energy and slammed into the creature. I've flipped over cars with blasts of force like that, but the thing barely rocked back, slapping at the air with its forelimbs. The blast shattered against it in a shower of reddish sparks. The conflicting energies disrupted its veil just for a second. I saw something somewhere between a cougar and a bear, with sparse, dirty golden fur. It must have weighed several hundred pounds. It had oversized fangs, bloodied claws, and its eyes were a bright and sickly yellow that looked reptilian somehow. Its snarling mouth twisted in a way that no animals could, forming words, albeit words that I did not understand. Its form twisted, changing with liquid speed, and in maybe half a second, a cougar, bigger than any mountain lion I'd ever even heard about, was hurtling toward me, vanishing into the rippling colors of a veil as it came. I brought up my left hand, slamming my will into the bracelet hung upon it. The bracelet, a braid of metals hung with charms in the shape of medieval shields, was another tool, like the staff, a device that let me focus the energies I wielded more quickly and efficiently. A quarter dome of blue-white light sprang into existence before me, and the creature slammed into it like a brick wall. well, more like a rickety wooden wall. I felt the shield begin to give as the creature struck it, but at least initially, it stopped it in its tracks. Billy hit it low and hard. The great dark wolf sailed in, teeth ripping, and got hold of something. The creature howled, this time more in pain than fury, and whirled on Billy. But the leader of Chicago's resident werewolves was already on the way back out, and he bounded aside from the creature's counterattack. It was faster than Billy was. It caught him, and I saw Billy hunch his shoulders against its attack, his fur being bloodied as he crouched low, standing his ground. So that Georgia could hit it low and hard. Georgia's wolf form was dusty brown, taller and lither than Billy's, and moved with deadly precision. She raked at the creature, forcing it to turn to her, only to be forced to keep whirling as Billy went after its flank.